AviationPros.com is the portal website for AMT, Airport Business, and Ground Support Worldwide magazines. Visit daily for breaking news, industry blogs, and insightful articles from our magazine's editorial team. And don't forget to sign up for our publication's daily e-newsletters. It's all at AviationPros.com.
Hello and welcome to the Aviation Pros Podcast. I'm Christina Marsh, editor of Airport Business.
William Blair recently released their quarterly aviation services and industry update. The report highlighted concerns and trends in the FBO space, including the continuation of embracing electric aviation, hangar shortages, and commercial travel delays and cancellations. In today's episode, William Blair Managing Director Josh Olek joins us to talk more about the report. Josh, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So my first question for you is, can you elaborate on the current challenges the aviation industry is facing, particularly facing hangar shortages and commercial travel delays?
Sure, no problem. So I'll start on the commercial travel delays. And as anybody knows who's flown recently, this is a problem and a growing problem. And I mean, it's not new. The delays have been around for a long time, in many instances, weather induced, and there's not much that you can do about that. But I think the challenges that we've seen more recently is that a growing number of those are more related to personnel than they are weather. And in our report, we reference some of the complaint data that has come into the Department of Transportation, but there's a significant uptick just in the last year related to this. And our belief is that what underlies that is a shortage of qualified pilots, air traffic controllers, and flight attendants on the airlines. I've experienced this myself. I don't know how often you fly, Christina, but oftentimes when a flight is delayed, the longer it gets pushed, the more likely it is that you run into a labor issue where folks have timed out and the flight can't go or gets canceled. So anyway, the point being that, you know, this continues to remain a challenge. I think the airlines are trying to hire more. They're trying to pay better. It does seem to be subsiding some, and we'll speak more to this later. But it's frustrating, and it's driven people to want to fly private if they can. And for those that have the means to do so, there has been a big shift over the last 3 to 4 years of folks transitioning into private aviation. And that, I think that leads us to the second challenge that you highlighted. I'd like to think about it more as an opportunity. But you know, what that challenge is that as more flyers have moved into the private sector, the private aviation sector, the size of the active fleet has grown. And not only that, but the size of the aircraft themselves has continued to increase. And we cite some stats around this in our report that you can go read. But the long and short of it is that the largest aircraft today are more than 2.5 times the size of the largest aircraft roughly 20 years ago. And so when you couple that with the fact that more people are flying and there's more aircraft in the fleet, that has driven a dynamic where the demand for hangar space has outstripped supply.
What solutions do you see as viable in addressing the hangar shortage issue?
Sure. I mean, the biggest solution is to build more hangars. And, you know, that's fundamentally where the opportunity lies. And I think we're seeing that play out as we speak. The challenge there is that these don't get built overnight. If I could just go back in time a little bit and maybe describe what has led to this. When we go back to 2020 during the pandemic, air travel stopped for a period of time. As it started to come back towards the back half of the year, it came back in a big way within the private sector first and has been growing within the commercial sector since. But the growth in general aviation during that time was upwards of 20% ahead of where it was pre-pandemic. And the question for operators in 21 and 22 and even throughout 23 was, how long does this persist? And is it something that I should start investing in now, or is this more of a one-time thing? So if you put yourself in the shoes of an FBO operator who is seeing this increased demand, in order to build that hangar, you know, it's a big investment. You've got to go through permitting processes. You may need to go through a negotiation with the airport to get a new ground lease in order to have the land to build it on. So it's a time consuming and expensive effort, and you don't want to undergo that if you don't know that the demand is going to be there over the long term. And so I think there's been questions, you know, the last couple of years, will this stick around? I think the longer it's persisted, the more comfort people have gained in the fact that it's here to stay. And as a result of that, I think there's more certainty around making that investment and starting to expand hangar capacity to catch up with demand. And we're seeing this across a number of our clients today that are undergoing significant hangar expansion projects.
So how have shortages of pilots, aircraft, and air traffic controllers impacted commercial flight operations? And do you have any insight on what steps are being taken to mitigate these challenges?
So I don't have specific insights into things that are happening within the commercial airlines related to this, other than the fact that they are pushing to hire, you know, more. There has been a pilot shortage for quite some time. This is not new. The shortage has worsened over the years, but it's not a new thing. And there's constant effort going into increasing pilot salaries and recruiting and finding ways to attract more and more pilots to the airlines. I will say that in the last several months, we've seen this abate some. I'll give one example, and that was, I believe it was in November of last year, UPS laid off a number of pilots, which you know, certainly helps to, you know, put more folks in the market and abate that issue slightly. But, you know, aside from pay increases, incentives, and just more effort into hiring and training, that's really the extent of it.
So let's talk about electric charging stations. Sure. So how do these initiatives align with broader industry goals, and how are they promoting sustainability?
Sure. So I'll reference the International Air Transport Association, which represents about 320 airlines, roughly 80%+ of total air traffic. But they've put out, and this is out there publicly, but they've put out a target to achieve net zero CO2 emissions by 2050. There's a number of ways that they intend to go do that, the biggest of which is sustainable aviation fuel. But second to that is new technology, including both electric and hydrogen. And so you mentioned and we talked about this a bit in the report, but you mentioned the electric charging stations. I think today, by and large, those charging stations are likely being used to charge vehicles. There are no FAA-approved electric aircraft in use today. However, we're getting very close to having several. And I think the first place where you'll see that happen is in the smaller air taxis. These would be smaller aircraft that can hold, call it, four passengers and a pilot and fly roughly 100 miles. The sort of use cases for those are going to be in larger cities where you're essentially displacing ground traffic versus air traffic. But I think to sort of address your point specifically, the charging stations are an effort to start to develop the infrastructure to be able to support the eventuality of air taxis, which I think we'll see come online in a big way over the course of the next decade.
Okay. So there was a partnership between Atlantic Aviation and Beta Technologies in installing electric charging stations at FBOs that was noted in the report. Can you talk more about what those stations offer and discuss that partnership further?
Yes, I'll share what I know at least, and I don't have a ton of insight into exactly how these are structured, but my understanding is that as it stands today, Atlantic has installed one of Beta Technologies chargers in one of their regional airports, but they have signed host site agreements on three additional locations. And my understanding is there's more in the works. So it seems that the intention here is to roll out Beta Technologies charging stations across a number of the locations within the Atlantic network. I'll note that Atlantic's not alone on this. Signature has done the same thing. I think there's an article more recently that the Signature just signed a similar agreement and has at least one location with Beta Technologies charger. The intent here is to start to put in place the infrastructure, as I noted earlier, to support the air taxi market in some of the more densely populated locations within those FBO's networks.
So there was also another partnership in the electric aviation sector between Joby Aviation and Clay Lacy, correct?
Yes, that is correct. And it was noted in our report, but Clay Lacy is working with Joby to install a charging station in their location at John Wayne Airport in Orange County. For similar reasons, I think Joby's intent would be to operate out of their aircraft, as I described earlier, has about four passengers and similar range, around 100 miles. So the intention would be, to use that as a base station and to move people around the LA area. Presumably you'd fly into the FBO and then immediately hop into one of these air taxis to get to where you're going in the city, versus, spending the hours driving through traffic to get there. And in order for that to happen, the infrastructure has to be in place. And so that is the investments that we're seeing today to get that in place to help support what we expect to happen here over the course of the next several years.
So you just mentioned that the infrastructure has to be in place. On that note, what challenges do you anticipate in the widespread adoption of electric aviation technology? And do you have any advice as for how industry stakeholders can plan to address those issues?
Sure. There's many challenges, but there's also a ton of opportunity here. And certainly with every challenge comes opportunity. I'll touch on a few of them. The first one is just battery life and range. I mean, this has been the biggest. Where we see the most advancements today is really in the smaller aircraft, the air taxis that I mentioned, where the battery technology today can support flights on the order of 100 miles or so. I think this is where we will see the first electric aircraft. The longer haul aircraft obviously require significantly larger and more powerful batteries. Insofar, the technology is not at the point at which you could support that sort of, that sort of sustained flight activity and passenger load. The second area, just as it relates to technology, is just around thermal management and the safety of that. Ensuring that the passengers on these planes are safe and that the battery technology won't, catch fire or fail. Charging infrastructure is another issue. You've got to have the chargers in the right places in order to make this viable. And that takes time, and that needs to start now before these planes are ready to begin flying so that the infrastructure exists for them to actually go fly. And we're seeing that happen. This is probably the one that's the easiest to address and is, for the FBOs out there, this is a great opportunity for them to find other revenue streams and participate in the electrification of their industry. And then the last one that I'd mention is just the regulatory challenges. There's going to be a lot of large flying devices in the sky. We've got to have the right regulations in place to make sure they're doing so safely. And that is ongoing. And it certainly takes time, but probably one of, if I had to rank all of these, the technology is definitely the largest challenge and the one that's going to take the longest, whereas the infrastructure and the regulatory, I think, will work itself out.
In what ways do you envision the FBO industry evolving over the next decade? We've talked a lot about challenges regarding technological advancements, but what about changing consumer preferences?
Yeah, I think the consumer also wants what's good for the environment. And so, I think we're seeing an increasing push for sustainability. And, one of the ways that exists out there right now that we can really leverage to reduce carbon emissions within aviation is sustainable aviation fuel. And so I expect to see that to gain more traction. If you're not familiar with what that is, it's an aviation fuel that's made out of biomass and produces the same sort of output as a petroleum-based fuel, but with far less CO2 emissions. And if I go back to one of your earlier questions where you asked about CO2 emissions, I mentioned that IATA had set a goal of net zero CO2 emissions by 2050. Well, 65% of that reduction is coming from sustainable aviation fuel. So I think, the industry needs to embrace that. I think FBOs will need to embrace that and begin to be able to supply SAF fuel at their locations. That's probably one of the biggest changes that we'll see in the near term. And then secondly, it's the charging stations. I think over the course of the next decade, you will see the advent of air taxis, at least in some of the larger, more densely populated areas. And so having the right infrastructure in place at these FBOs to be able to support that will be critical. I think there's other things that I see evolving in the near future would be things like software and technology advances just to make folks more efficient.
Well, thank you so much, Josh, for taking the time to talk with us today.
No problem. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I appreciate you taking the time to dive into it with me a little bit deeper. I hope folks enjoy the report and get something out of it.
Thanks again for listening to today's podcast. Stay up to date on industry news, current issues, and information specifically for airports, airport operations, FBOs, and airport-based business by subscribing to Airport Business Daily Newsletter. And as always, please continue to visit aviationpros.com.